another common, so that's why in James chapter 3, verse 5 to 7, one thing that James says about the poor people is that they have two special qualities. So James chapter 2, verse 5 to, oh, James chapter 2, verse 5 to 7. So here it reads, "Listen, my dear brothers, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him?" So here, the two qualities we see of the poor is that they become rich in faith, and they are also the candidates to inherit the kingdom of heaven. And in verse 6 to 7, James compares the poor to the rich. So here he talks about the rich, and it says, "But you have insulted the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are slandering the noble name of him to whom you belong?" So the three qualities of the rich people is that they exploit people in the church, they exploit the poor, they drag people into court, and they also slander the noble name of him to whom we belong, which is Jesus Christ. But we know that in terms of slandering, if you recall from last sermon, that so here the rich are slandering Jesus' name, but what James tells us is that we shouldn't even slander one another. So let's go to James chapter 4, verses 11 to 12. So here it says, "Brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor?" So knowing this, that we're not supposed to slander one another and not to judge one another, and that there is only one lawgiver and one judge, which is Jesus Christ, will also help the poor who are being exploited right now to be patient. And so why is it that we should not slander one another, even if we are a poor person being exploited by the rich? Is because, if you recall, that each person is made in the likeness of God. So let's go to James chapter 3, verse 9. So starting in verse 9, it says, "With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in God's likeness." So as we tie everything together, we can see that not only is one theme of the book of James the rich and the poor, another theme is how to control your tongue. And so why is it important for us to control our tongue? If we take a look at James chapter 1, verse 26, so chapter 1, verse 26 says, "If anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless." And so here is one section where it mentions controlling our tongue. And then if you recall from my previous sermons on James, chapter 3 is an entire chapter dedicated to controlling your tongue. And also chapter 4, verse 7 to 17 is also talking about controlling your tongue. So James chapter 4, starting verse 13 to 17, is telling the rich not to boast about the poor. Or just telling everybody in general, the rich and the poor, not to boast about tomorrow. And so when we control our tongue, that's one step. And then if we go back to James chapter 1, verse 27, it also tells us that another thing we have to do is to have a pure religion, a pure and faultless religion. So James chapter 1, verse 27 reads, "Religion by God our Father, such as pure and faultless, is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world." So why is James focusing on this teaching? is because through this teaching, we can see that in the church at the time, there was a lot of poor people, and James is telling them to take care of the orphans and also the widows who are in distress. So we can see that the church is supposed to love the poor and also love the needy, whereas we can see that in James chapter 4, we can see that some people are boasting and bragging about tomorrow. And what is it that they say? So let's go to James chapter 4 and then verse 13. So James chapter 4 verse 13 says, "Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money." So most often the people who are able to say this isn't necessarily the poor who are able to move around, but most likely somebody who is more well off. So the three main points would be, so James is speaking to the rich people in the first section, so James chapter 5, verse 1-6. And then the second main idea is that James is speaking to the poor people from verse 7 to 11. And then the third main idea is to recognize that the Lord is coming. So in verse 7, James is telling the saints to be patient because the Lord has not passed judgment yet and on the rich people. So that's why the saints and also the poor people have to be patient. And another reason why in verse 7 James is telling us to be patient is because the poor and the needy people haven't received their due blessing yet. So one blessing that the Lord can give us on earth is that when we are faithful in serving Him and we offer to Him, God can give us blessing right away. So this is something that we can taste and see that the Lord is good for ourselves. And this is also one way that God will encourage you while you live on earth. And even if we haven't received blessing from God right away, we have to be patient and wait for, and know that the Lord will reward each of us according to what we have done. And so it's, while we haven't received this blessing, while we don't see the wicked and those who exploit the poor get judgment or punishment yet, but it's very important for us not to think that it's useless to be holy and to give up and complain. In the Bible, we can see that there's two examples that we see that even King David himself was almost ready to give up when he saw that all this wickedness happening around him. So the two areas in the Bible that talks about this is Psalms chapter 37 and also Psalms chapter 73. So let's go to Psalms chapter 37. So Psalms chapter 37, if we read in the very beginning, it tells us not to fret because of evil men or the envious of those who do wrong. And then their result is in verse 2, "For like the grass they will soon wither, like green plants they will soon die away." So this isn't just an Old Testament teaching, but we see that the same teaching comes from the New Testament. So in James chapter 1, and then let's take a look at verses 9-11. So James chapter 1, verse 9-11, it also says, "The brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position, but the one who is rich should take pride in his low position. For he will pass away like a wild flower, for the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich man will fade away even while he goes about his business." Psalm chapter 37. So we can see here, so it's important for us not to fret, even if we see evil men exploiting the poor, because in the future they will literally like grass and like three times they will sleep out. But for us, how we be patient is that in verses 3 to 4 it says, trust in the Lord and do good, dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. And then, so one thing I would encourage you to do when you go home is read the entire chapter of Psalm 37 for yourself. One common word that keeps appearing is do not fret. So it appears in verse 1, also in verse 7, and then also a couple more times in the book of, in the chapter of 37. And then you also realize what the end result of the wicked is. It spells it out very clearly. So here's one area where it tells us how to be patient, even if we see bad things happening around us. And then also another book is Psalm chapter 73. So here, let's start in verse 2. It says, but as for me, my feet had almost slipped. I had nearly lost my foothold. For I envied the arrogant, and I saw the prosperity of the wicked. They have no struggles, their bodies are healthy and strong, they are free from the burdens common to men, they are not plagued by human things. So this is someone who recognizes all the bad things happening around them, and they have almost died of being holy, and it is peaceless. So that's why it says here, as for me, my feet have almost died. But if we see that in this book, it also tells us the end result of the Philippian, is if we start in verse 18, it says, surely you place them on slippery ground, you cast them down to ruin. How suddenly they are destroyed, completely swept away by germs. So for us, we have to remember the illustrations of the farmers, the prophets, and also of Job, and make sure that we are always patient to receive God's blessing. And then, if we go back to James chapter 5, so verses 7 to 12 is a section that's encouraging the poor and the needy people, and it's telling them not to worry, and using the example of a farmer who would sow their seed to water the plant, to finish all their work in the field, and then as they wait to be patient, in due time they will receive a harvest. Same as a prophet, as after they have preached, you have to give God time, and then God, the Lord will eventually judge the wicked, and in due time, then we see the result, the consequence. And then the last one was Job. So the reason why a lot of people don't follow God is because they see what's happening to other people. They are prosperous and successful, even though they do wicked things and it's worth the poor, nothing bad seems to happen to them. And so that's why it's important, besides James chapter 5, to write down Psalm chapter 37 and also 73. Whereas, so we can see that some people don't receive any discipline, but the end result is that they will be on slippery ground and be destroyed. Whereas if God loves you, God will discipline you, and because God only disciplines those he loves. And after discipline, then that's how we can train ourselves holy and listen to the Father, to continuously learn from him, to come and follow Jesus, and also wait for him. For him to pass it to become the law, because he is the law of bread. So, when these three illustrations that James gives us to do are apart, we can see that we will that we have to put our trust in the Lord, according to Psalm chapter 40, verse 4. So Psalm chapter 40, verse 4 says, "Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not look to the proud, who goes his turn aside with false gods." So here, this also reminds us not to look to the wicked, but make sure that we focus our eyes to the Lord. And that way we won't start fretting either. So going back to James chapter 5. So James chapter 5 shouldn't just be read alone. It should actually be read continuously. Like the whole book of James should be read in one setting. And then you can start picking out some words. So the first section of chapter 5 is talking to the rich people, but it's also a continuation of the latter part of chapter 4. Because if you take a look at James chapter 4 verse 13, it starts off with "now listen." And then if you take a look at James chapter 5, verse 1, it also starts off with "now listen." So these two sections are both talking to the rich people. The chapter 4, verse 13 to 17 is what the rich people say. And then chapter 5, verses 1 to 6 is what the rich people do. So what is it that the rich people do here? So what they do is that the first thing that they do is they say, "Today or tomorrow we'll go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money." And then what they do is that there are four things. They hoard wealth in the last days. They fail to pay wages to the workmen. They live on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. And they also condemn and murder innocent men. So one thing that they do here is that they condemn and murder innocent men, which is exactly what we talked about earlier with the three qualities of the rich people. When we talked about James chapter 2, verse 5 to 7, is how they slander the noble name of him to whom we belong, and they also carry people into courts. And then here we can also see there's a couple more qualities of the rich. One is that they exploit the poor. And we know that this is, if you view it from a poor person's perspective, this is actually a huge deal, is because if you're poor, you're most likely living from paycheck to paycheck. So verse 7, then it tells us that when the Lord comes, so James chapter 5 verse 7 says, when the Lord comes, then he will also bring judgment on the rich people who are non-believers, and also he will come, and then also something, the poor will get rewarded. So where is this judgment recorded in the Bible, and when is this judgment time? It is in the future, in Jesus' second coming, and it is before the great white throne. So let's go take a look at Revelation chapter 20. So Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. So here it says, "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who was seated on it. Earth and sky fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. The books were opened, another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up their dead that were in it, death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what he had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. If anyone's name was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire." So here, so beside James chapter 5 verse 7, make sure you read Revelation chapter 20, that's be patient until the Lord's coming, and this judgment will occur in front of a great white throne. And it's not just judgment that will occur on that day. We know that there will be rewards as well. So if we see the wicked people not being judged right now and right away, we know that this judgment will come in the future. So if we are exploited by the rich people, one lesson that you can learn from the Bible is Genesis chapter 31. We know that Jacob himself was also exploited by his father-in-law, Laban. But Jacob waited for 20 years, and in the end, you can see that the Lord turned around and made Jacob rich. And so one biblical lesson that we need to learn here is that that it takes time, and we all of us have to be patient. So make sure you learn from Jacob to and that you will get your due reward, but after a certain amount of time that God has set up. And so one common thing between the farmer, the prophet, and Job is that they all had to wait, and after waiting, they were able to see good results and good returns. Because we know that God is faithful to all his promises. So let's go back to James chapter 5. So here, what is one... So yes, we know that both the rich and the poor will be judged in the future in front of the great white throne. But if you read James chapter 5 closely, you also see that there is judgment now on earth for the rich people who exploit the poor. So starting in verse 2, it says, "Your wealth has rotted, and moths have eaten your clothes. Your gold and silver are corroded. The corrosion will testify against you and eat your flesh like fire." So one thing is that the clothes will have holes in it because moths have eaten their clothes. And also another thing is that their gold and silver are corroded. But we know that property of gold is that it is pure gold, it never corrodes, which means that this gold that they have purchased for themselves is not pure, contains impurities, and that's why corrosion is happening. So, for example, if they paid for 100% pure gold and they find out it's only 50% pure, 50% gold and corroding, they just lost 50% of their wealth. And then, so why is James touching on the topic of the poor and the rich in the church? Not because he wants them to receive judgment, but because James wants them to turn around. And so basically, the third point is most important, to recognize that the Lord is coming, and that judgment will come in the future, for them to stop exploiting the poor and not hoard their wealth, so that they can avoid the consequences, all these disastrous consequences in the future. So, yes, in the book of James, there's three examples laid out for the poor to follow, but then we see that in the Bible, we can pull out some examples for the rich people too. So there's three examples for today. First one would be the rich man and Lazarus in Luke chapter 16. So Luke chapter 16, starting verse 19 to 31, it talks about that there was a rich man. And then he was always eating well, and then there was a beggar by his door. And then the beggar had a really tough life, and also, like, even the dogs came to lick up his sores. And the beggar, his name was Lazarus, and Lazarus longed to eat things that fell from the rich man's table. But after both passed away, both the rich man and Lazarus, we see that Lazarus is by Abraham's side, whereas the rich man ended up in hell, and he suffered a lot of agony there. So what can we learn from here is if the rich man was even slightly kind to Lazarus, then Lazarus would have been able to preach the gospel to him, and then the rich man would have recognized what he was doing would end up leading him to hell. And so if the rich man was kind to the poor and kind to Lazarus, he would have been saved. I'll let you read Luke chapter 16, verses 19 to 31 at home. And then another example for the rich people to follow is in Matthew chapter 25, verses 34. So Matthew chapter 25, verse 34, it reads, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me.'" So this is the blessing that the kind people and those who are generous to the poor receive. And then whereas if we take a look at starting verse 40, it says, "The king will reply and tell you the truth. Whatever you did for," oh, this is not another good one. "Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me." And then starting verse 41 to 45 is where he talks to those people who are not kind to the poor. So verse 41, it says, "Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me.'" And then verse 45 says, "He will reply and tell you the truth. Whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." So using Matthew chapter 25, we also understand more deeply what happened between Lazarus and the rich man, is that because the rich man did not give Lazarus food to eat, he did not do it to Jesus Christ. And the third example that we have for the rich people is in 1 Samuel chapter 25. So 1 Samuel chapter 25, this is where King David asked Nabal for some food. There was a man named Nabal, and Nabal refused to give King David food. And so we can see that King David almost went to kill Nabal, but Nabal had a really wise wife called Abigail, and Abigail came out with food and gave it to David so that David would not kill Nabal. But because Nabal held this food, and Abigail, his wife, gave it to David instead, we can see that there was a consequence for Nabal as well. So let's take a look at 1 Samuel chapter 25, starting verse 36. So this is after Abigail had given food to David. So verse 36 says, "When Abigail went to Nabal, he was in the house holding a banquet like that of a king. He was in high spirits and very drunk, so she told him nothing until daybreak. Then in the morning when Nabal was sober, his wife told him all these things, and his heart filled with him, and he became like stone." And then in verse 38, "About 10 days later, the Lord struck Nabal and he died." So we can see that because Nabal was not generous and kind to those who were in need. He received a heart attack and was struck 10 days later. So let's go back to James chapter 5. So one reason that James is telling the rich to stop exploiting the poor is so that they don't receive judgment in the future. And also that if they stop cheating the poor and giving out of their wages, they themselves are going to be cheated by others when they purchase gold. So because the company I work for is So then I got share offerings, and through this, that God has moved that way. And then in August of 2018, I also got the opportunity to go to site. And so I was going to site. There is overtime work, and through overtime, you get paid right now 1.5 times your salary. So every week, I get about 8 hours of overtime, so then the Lord blessed me through that way as well. And the third way I experience blessing from the Lord is that near the end of the year, there's also a bonus time. And when I compare my bonus for when I was working at head office and then my bonus for when I'm working at site, it's about 6 times more. So through all this, then I realized that. So when I started the faith pledge, I set aside a amount in my bank account and said, this is for God and He blesses me. And at the end of the year, I didn't even have to touch that amount, and there was already like a sufficient amount for my faith pledge in my bank account. So then I was able to just write a check and not have to pull any funds from like, if you have a GFSA or RMS or anything like that. So through all of this, I learned, so it's important for us to be patient. So you make a pledge to God, and then you can experience for yourself whether or not He blesses you. Continue to wait for Him, and don't complain and don't grumble, like James says in chapter 5, verse 9. Don't grumble, or else you will lose the blessing that God has prepared in store for you. So James chapter 5, verse 9 says, don't grumble against each other, brothers, for you will be judged. The judge is standing at the door. So obviously, blessings on earth is only partial, and not the entire blessing that God has in store for us. But also remember that Proverbs chapter 8, verse 18 is very important, that we can get enduring wealth that will last us a lifetime. And this will happen during the millennial kingdom, which is talked about in Revelation chapter 1, I mean, sorry, Revelation chapter 21 and 22. And so throughout the Bible, we know that it takes time for God to carry out His blessing. And another person we can look at is Abraham's son. We see that Abraham didn't complain, and he endured and continued to follow God. So that in the end, we can see that Abraham himself became prosperous and successful. Pray according to Psalm chapter 40, verse 11. 40, verse 11, says, "Do not withhold your mercy from me, O Lord. May your love and your truth always protect me." So going back to James chapter 5, we can see that James has laid out both sides of the story for us to see. That if you're rich, make sure you pay people on time, to treat the poor people well, and treat them as if you are treating, as if that is Jesus that you're treating, and do to them as if you are doing it to Jesus, so that Jesus will spare you from the misery. And when you turn around and you stop and you don't exploit the poor, then you can see that relief will also come from God, according to Psalms chapter 30, verse 11. It says, "You turn my wailing into dancing, you remove my sackcloth and clothe me with joy." And then also another thing that the rich can turn around and do is not to store up their wealth on earth, because we see that the wealth will rot, and also, like on earth, your wealth will rot, and also moths will eat your clothes, but rather to store up your treasures in heaven, according to Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21. So Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 21. Says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And then, whereas for the poor people or anybody experiencing any exploitation, just make sure that you remember the example of the farmer and also the prophets and Job. So that's all I have to share for today, and let's bow our heads with the Holy Spirit. Dearly Father, as we come before you today, I pray that you help us to remember all the lessons we have learned from the Lord James. Help us to not just simply be a hearer of your word and so deceive ourselves, but I pray that you give us the wisdom and the power to put it into practice as well, so that we may be blessed in what we do. And in terms of how we interact on earth, I pray that you help us to speak and act as one who will be judged by the law that gives freedom, and help us to be merciful to other people, because we know that you also show us mercy this way. And in terms of what we have learned today, I pray that you help us to remember the illustrations of Lazarus and the rich man, what you said in Matthew chapter 25, and also to Nabal and Abigail and David. And I pray that you help us to make sure that we take it more time, not to exploit this work. And in terms of what we do on a daily basis, help us to be joyful always, to pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.